Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from November 2015. Ms. Anna Rodewald, partner of Greenroom Voice, and Mr. Benjamin Marias, co-managing director of AIR, present Raw Materials Fit for Circular Economy.
A very warm welcome for our presentation for today. My name is Anna Rodewald. I'm a partner at a company called Greenroom Voice, and I have this session here together with my colleague Benjamin Marias from France. I'm from Germany, and he's from the company AIR. We are working together on topics like circular economy and other raw material topics, mainly in the sporting goods and textile area. For today, we would like to take the next 45 minutes to have a deeper look into the topic of circular economy and raw materials, which can be used within that concept. What is our agenda? For the next, let's say, half an hour, we will keep a bit of time for discussion afterwards. First, a short look into who we are. And then we would like to know where you are coming from in terms of your background. We will have a look into the definition of circular economy. What does that mean, and what does that? What is the link between circular economy and textiles and raw materials? And then we will have a look into specific examples. Examples, of course, we cannot cover everything which is available outside, but to have at least a few examples for you to have been seen, and a few examples of applications afterwards. Is that something new? For us, it is pretty new. We started our journey on circular economy about half a year ago at the outdoor fair in Friedrichshafen. We had a pretty big workshop there covering all areas of circular economy, not only the raw material part, working with quite a big group of people, interdisciplinary background on how can we close the loop for our industry in terms of materials. And we are continuing this journey today with a focus on raw materials, and we will go further on at ISPO and outdoor next year to continue our journey on this. What is our purpose for today? We are focusing on the raw material part on circular economy for today, as this is a textile fair. We would like to inspire you to take over the mindset of circular economy, to understand the concept and to see on how you as a designer and product developer have a stake in there and can make a big change and a big achievement. Mm-hmm. We will present some examples of raw materials which are fit for circular economy. And we would like to hear your challenges and ideas of integrating circular economy into your business. If we have some minutes of discussion afterwards, build a connection between you and us, if it is possible to see on whom can work together to build to close the loop, because this is something which is an interdisciplinary thing. It's not something, and not something one company at their own can solve. Who of you is working on the implementation of circular economy principles in your business? Just raise up your hand for us to know a bit on who is sitting here in the audience. Why are you coming to this presentation? Is it something you are interested in to integrate? Okay, you want to understand the principles of circular economy? Thank you. And who have heard about circular economy before? Okay, it's still some basic topics to cover. It's not two persons standing here in front of you, but we don't do all that on our own. We are a group of people. We are calling ourselves Mycelium Network. We have more experts in our core team. And we have also an extended team for specific topics if that is needed.
All right. Some key definitions first to start with the circular economy concept or principle. This is a definition from Ellen MacArthur Foundation. This is the foundation that today is working the most on the topic and where you can find a lot of information on the website. So it's really, really interesting to look at. And for now, the definition that we have is the circular economy is one that is restorative by design and which aim to keep products, components, and materials at the highest utility and value at all times. That's pretty important. That's a global economic model. It's just like a, it's not just like a side initiative. It's really part of the model of our economy today. This is something we will come back to, that technical versus biological materials. And the approach is, there's two approach, two circles. The design is a very important part of the circular economy. And today, as mentioned by Anna, we will focus on the materials, but the design is really an important aspect of circular economy. This should lead to new opportunities for innovation, in products, in materials, in many stuff. And it's a long-term process. It's a long-term approach of doing business. So this is to easily understand what is circular economy. Circular economy is the contrary of the linear economy. The linear economy that you're on the left, where you take, you make, and you dump. And the circular economy has this, on the right side, where you got this technical and the biological that I mentioned just before. So you, on one side, you take, you make, you dump. On the other side, what you make is coming back to the circle again and again, either on the technical aspect or on the biological aspect. And we'll take some examples to illustrate that afterwards. Just to make it clear, when we talk about circular economy, there are some words that are, or some topics that are popping up, like open loop, closed loop. Open loop is more related to the linear process. Is that when you, so it's the one on the left. Open loop is when you recycle open loop, you take the materials and you put it into a new materials, but the quality is lower and it will be degrade. It will degrade by the time. So it's not, you don't get the same material quality over the years. And the contrary is the closed loop. The closed loop is when the materials that you recycle has the same properties, the same qualities, exactly the same. And this is high efficiency, and this is the closest to the circular economy approach. Here is another way to formalize it by the cradle to cradle. They were the pioneer in that approach. Michael Borngaard and McDonough. This is the cradle-to-cradle concept, the same approach, biological cycle on the left, technical cycle on the right.
The idea on these two cycles is to have all materials which are going into the cycle as being nutrients for the process, and they stay within the process. So either it's something which you can biodegrade, or something which is a technical product like a plastic or a metal, which can be recycled, as we know, from glass, from steel, and so on. If we now have a look into fibers, what does that mean? On fibers, we can take this similar separation. We can say we have the fossil-based fibers on the right. They can go into a technical cycle. So we have recycling methods which are appropriate for that. But we also have fibers would go into the left part of this cycle. And usually, in the past, we had mainly natural fibers which are grown as fibers. But we have also another source which can go into the biological cycle. And these are the regenerated fibers which are coming from a natural source. We have in our industry since a long time fibers like viscose and regenerated cellulosic fibers. So these are still a natural source, but they are not grown as a fiber. They're grown as something else, like a bamboo or like a tree or whatever. And into this concept, we can also bring our raw materials and the finished products after they have they finished their life. So a cotton t-shirt, for example, can go back into this cycle as a source for the new fiber. That's why we have two parts here and having one part here. Okay, now we have a bit deeper look into the materials. If we stay on natural fibers, I guess there's a lot of stuff which we know since a long while, and some of that what we have forgotten in between. We have a brief look into that because some of that you already know anyway. But what is interesting and what are the opportunities and what are the limitations on fibers like wool or cotton or other natural-based fibers which are grown as fibers? Of course, they are renewable. If we take wool, for example, it has a perfect insulation performance and it has a high durability. We can recycle it mechanically in Europe. The limitation is that we have a lot of chemicals which we use to clean it up if we want to recycle it. And one of the difficult topics on wool definitely is that we need to find out where it's coming from, because the traceability is something which could violate the topic of animal welfare. Wool itself is quite a costly product in general if we want to have it in a high quality, like merino, for example. And we know that the CO2 footprint is higher than, for example, down, which could be also used as an insulation material in this. Yeah, it's not a fiber in itself, but it's grown as we use it in a jacket or in another technical product. There are manufacturers who are recycling wool, like this company, for example. They are making fibers again out of wool. Wool recycling is something which is, has a long tradition in northern Italy. And they're making jackets out of that. In the past, it was something, often something like, let's say, lower quality if somebody said, oh, this is a recycled wool and this is not a new one. But today, we are in the situation changed. Some of the brands, they say, hey, we are working with recycled fibers and taking this as a quality status. And that's, on one hand, it is a statement to say we are working on resources which we don't have to take from virgin, which are already there. And the other thing is that the process technologies have been raised up that much that the quality is far better than it was 100 years ago.
Some basic information about cotton. Cotton, we quite often forget that it's fully recyclable. That is, it clean cotton, meaning that it's not blended with polyester or with elastan, which is our difficulties of, as recyclers. So cotton is mechanically recyclable through process as it's been known for years. And if we take like an example, just afterwards, of two examples of recycling cotton in Europe. It's one is Filature du Parc, and in France, they do cotton recycling and they improve even the quality of the cotton afterwards. And now it's getting even better over the years. And they did this this campaign with or this program with Bonobo to recycle cotton for denim. It's still not 100% of recycled cotton in the denim, but it's on the way to be 100%. And the other quite well-known cotton recycler in Europe is Il Atouras Ferré, working with post-production cotton, post-production waste of cotton at the moment. But they do project around cotton recycling for post-consumer. So this is quite interesting to look at. And recycled cotton has a lot of benefits in comparison to even organic cotton, where the water consumption is still very high.
Just a brief look into other natural fibers like linen, hemp, flax, and so on. Our grandparents probably used it much more than we use it right now, but it's coming back again because it has some opportunities which are easy to see. It definitely has a lower water consumption as a normal cotton and even as organic cotton. It does not take that much land, which is in any competition to agriculture for fruit. It has high mechanical properties. It has a good skin sensoric. It can be used not only for apparel, also for technical equipment. And it is compostable. Appropriate dyes are used, dye stuffs. The limitation is that it is still quite difficult to find a good supplier for it. But there are more and more suppliers coming up producing hemp and linen fabrics, which are really soft. And it has some kind of wrinkling effect, specifically linen, if it is used in 100%. That's why it is often used with other mixed with other fibers, which decrease the wrinkling effect a bit. And there is no official recycling process right now to keep it on a fiber base, like a mechanical process. Of course, we can put it into the composting, and then it goes back to soil, and then we can use the soil for growing new fibers. But it could be also seen as being part of the biological cycle, that's for sure. but it's not staying as a fiber in this process. One example for this is Freitag, who recently launched their new fabric. They call it F-Fabric, so it's just a wording exercise here. They are known from recycling truck planes for bags, and now they are going into workwear apparel, or let's say it's leisure wear, but it was intended to for the workers within the company. And they are working with hemp and linen and fully compostable materials. It's quite an interesting story. There is a video behind this, but we don't have the voice for the computer here, so probably you might, if you're interested, you might want to have a look to that at home on your computer. It's on available on the webpage, a YouTube video. It tells the whole story on why they do it and what are the achievements. Down, of course, is something which is grown as an insulation material. It's probably not a fiber itself, but it's grown as we use it. It's fully recyclable again. There is a mechanical recycling process for down in Europe at different places. It's lightweight, it's renewable, but the critical topic definitely is the animal welfare, which was coming up during the last 2 to 3 years, mainly due to the high amount of down which was used from the fashion industry. And there are standards now in place which are taking care of the animal welfare in the down supply chain and material traceability as well. The price, of course, is still pretty high for high quality down. There are suppliers right now who are using this recycled down. So this is some pictures of the process, and it can go into apparel as well as in sleeping bags or normal bedwear for the household. Having a look now into the regenerated fibers which are coming from natural source, the big opportunity is here that we can use all kind of wood and other cellulosic material to make regenerated cellulosic fibers and also other protein fibers. So it's nothing which is only on the cellulosic part. Also, protein fibers are gaining more and more interest in the industry as there are some quite interesting concepts out there. We don't need any fertilizers if we take wood or bamboo or whatever to make fibers out of that afterwards, after the regeneration process. We can vary the technical functionality as we wanted, so it's quite an interesting design process for that. And we have a good skin comfort on the and moisture management in the base layers. Price still is a problem. It's a traceability of the wood or the other raw material source is something which is quite interesting to keep an eye on. And the recyclability is not fully commercialized yet. So we know that it's technically possible, but it's also a question of volume. And often it's a question on how to get the products back from the consumers, because pre-consumer recycling is something which is pretty easy to organize. But that's something we also learned in the previous workshops we had on this topic. It is often a problem for the raw material companies to get a good quality product back from the consumers, knowing what is inside, if care labels have been removed and things like that. Lenzing is pretty well known for regenerated cellulosic fibers. I guess most of you have seen it. Made from different kind of cellulosic. Renewcell is another example. They also have a new process established for the regeneration of cellulosic material into new fibers. Just to have it seen, the logos and the names. Regenerated protein. That's probably a bit less well known in the industry. Mainly it is coming from animal proteins like milk, but it's also possible to have plant-based proteins like soybeans and oils where we can make fibers out. They are biodegradable, theoretically, but not all of these processes, again, are commercialized right now. And as most of these concepts are still in the development phase, or let's in the prototyping and development phase, not fully commercialized on a big scale, price is still a problem. But the more brands are requiring this kind of fabrics and the more people are using it, of course, just by volume, the price will change in the future. An example for that is Qmilk, for example, on the protein-based. They're using milk which can't be used for the food industry, So just due to quality or time where it was waiting for the process and so on. And they regenerate that into fibers which can be used for technical apparel and for fashion.
Let's move to the fossil-based fibers, the traditional one that you know, and we'll try to also look at some innovative materials. Fossil-based, that's of course there are opportunities with that that you all know. And our main opportunity with the fossil-based materials like polyester or polyamide is the chemical and the mechanical recycling is now widely available, more and more available. So for polyamide recycling that we will see just after, there are a lot of opportunities. But in terms of limitation, of course, is the major issue is to keep the fibers in the loop. Is how do you collect that materials? How do you make sure that the materials stay in the same quality and keep it over the years? And quite often with these fossil-based materials, you need when they are recycled one, like recycled polyester, you often need to mix it with virgin one to have the same quality. So this is still need to there's still need for improvement. And the last point that I already mentioned just before is for recycling polyester and polyamide as pretty tough for recyclers when it's mixed with other fibers. So there are some limits that recyclers accept, like elastan, 2%, 3% maximum. But with cotton, for example, it's more and more complicated for them when you mix cotton and polyester. So this makes it difficult. As an example, this is quite a well-known example of Teijin, the eco-circle, that they improve over the years, and now they accept, for example, 20% of cotton in the polyester when they do the recycling. So this is an interesting process, but it's only available in Japan at the moment and in China. The cost of the installation is still very high because it's a chemical recycling process. Something closer to here is the new life polyester. So Synthema, this is an example of a very locally made fiber, made in Italy, from plastic bottles to yarn, and again, it's a mechanical recycling process. So this is interesting to look at, and still there is some efforts to do when the fibers or when the fibers is used for textile, that to be able to recycle that textile again if it's 100% polyester is not the case yet. So there's still room for improvement. To make sure that our textile go back to textile. In terms of polyamide, there is also this great initiative from Aquafil with the Econeal process to recycle fishing nets or carpets. And they do that, the headquarters are in Italy, but the factory itself is in Slovenia. And they are able to recycle these fishing nets into new yarn and that has the same quality. This is the fishing nets, and this is the hand product, socks, for example. So this is very interesting. This is pretty new. This is like 5 years, more or less than 5 years ago that it went on the market. And this make open new processes and new ideas for products. Another type of polyamide is chemical recycling again. This is Nilit, just here. Yeah, this is polyamide 6-6, and the one from Aquafil is polyamide 6. And this is same idea of recycling polyamide into polyamide again. So in a closed loop process. Not related to textile, but very interesting to look at as well. This is rubber, a rubber that we find in most of the footwear. Good quality footwear, let's say. Rubber, there's here two examples. There is the Timberland that has developed a full approach of rubber recycling through tires. And it's very interesting how they made this collaboration with the tires manufacturer to be able to recycle the tires into the sole, the outer sole, and also use the outer sole of the shoe into new tires. So this is a full integrated project that has been launched early this year, and this is quite interesting to look at. And this rubber can become a rubber again. So this look interesting to look at. And another initiative that I just mentioned, because we are part of that project, it's a footwear recycling project. You know, footwear is very complex, very, very complex products. It's made of more than 40 different materials. It's stitched, glued, whatever. So it's the idea of that project is to extract high quality materials to make again new materials out of it, like rubber and leather. That's the two focus that we have.
Okay, if we now go back to the regenerated fibers which are made from natural sources, we have a short overview on what are the opportunities. Again, of course, this is something which can regrow again. It's something which we will have again and again if we make it right. It's a great substitution for fossil-based materials. Because on the fossil-based materials, we know that we have to keep them in a closed loop to have them available in the future, but we also need to have raw materials where we can build our products in future if we don't have any crude oil anymore. So therefore, there is a great possibilities here. It is less toxic with its byproducts, because if we make fibers out of crude oil, these are pretty long chains. Oil is something, a long polymer, but often in textile chemistry, we don't need this long polymer, so we need something which is different. And there's a lot of toxic materials which are making our life pretty difficult if we're working with crude oil. If we are working on plant-based materials or on naturally grown materials, we can take whatever is available and see what we need and making products out of that. So that is a big, big, big playground for all the chemists in the future, like we had it 150 years ago. When they started to make fibers out of oil, to see on where we can make our products from in the future, because we know we all want to make products and we want to sell them and design them, but we need materials to make that. And most of them are potentially biodegradable. I say potentially because these processes, of course, are not fully commercialized yet, but this should be a bit of a look into the future. One of the big risks here is that we need to make sure that we don't go in any competition with the food industry, that we don't take good soil and agriculture areas where we can build food for the growing number of people on our planet to make materials for products for the people. So we need to make sure that we go on areas where we can't grow food. As said before, these processes are not fully commercialized yet, but they have a really big opportunity. Until now, they are often mixed with fossil-based fibers. So you all know PLA, which is mixed with PET in the bottles. Coca-Cola, for example, they have on their bottle a logo saying so and so many percentage of naturally material inside. This is a mix of this plant-based PET with the crude oil PET. It's a big, big area for further research, search for making the fibers and for checking the biodegradability to have a real closed-loop product here. And I guess we have learned a lot within the last 150 years on what happens if we establish this kind of processes and don't look on what happens at the end. One example here is a plant-based material which we see from Toray. This is a picture from an outdoor brand, which I say they have a shell jacket which is 30% plant-based. Ecodia is a brand which is Toray using for this kind of face fabric. It's a polyester type of fabric. But we also see polyamide types, plant-based materials. Here we have an example. This is a jacket also from an outdoor brand. And this face fabric is made out of castor oil. So it's in German, it's Rizinusöl. We can use this kind of oils, natural proteins, to build plastics and fibers out of that. So that's a pretty big source. But as mentioned before, we need to make sure that we don't go in competition with the food industry on that. Sorona is another example for plant-based material. It's a bit a polyester type of fabric, and it's coming out of corn. So here you see a bit the process having the corn and taking parts of the corn out, which can go into a kind of fermentation process. Fermentation is probably something you know from the food industry, like for if you do a sourdough or whatever, this is fermentation. This kind of process are now going into the industry use to make to synthesize molecules which we can use to build plastics and fibers out of that. So it's a long way from the corn to the jumper, but it is possible. And this is a playground for the engineers and the chemists for the future. And you might see the fabrics, hopefully, pretty soon here.
Okay, let's go to some key takeaways. As a designer, so we assume that most of you are designers, or at least you develop products. As a designer, what are the key elements that you need to take into account to integrate fully this concept of circular economy into your design? So this is like really just basic stuff that we'll share with you now. So first is eliminate materials that will disrupt or contaminate the recycling stream, meaning like what we see now, this is counter-trend is electronics. Everybody is introducing electronics now. So this, how do you make that recyclable afterwards? Technical cycle, biological cycle, this make it problem. The high percentage of elastan, we see it closing now with 20% of elastan, and even more sometime. It's impossible to recycle at the moment. It's on the way, yeah, it's on the way, that's true. And the polyblends that we see just behind, when you can mix everything together. Of course, you use the two. In terms of performance, it's very interesting, but in terms of end of life, in terms of what you make with that product afterwards, it's getting more difficult. An alternative when you mix materials is to make sure that you can easily disassemble these materials. There are examples of fibers where you use on one side merino, on the other side polyester, and you can separate the two lining. That's make easily to recycle afterwards. One of the easiest way to go is to design products with a single fibers. That's possible sometime. 100% polyester, 100% recycled polyester, 100% recycled polyamide, but it's not always possible. So we need to integrate the other elements before. The other possibility is to design with another idea of another purpose or multiple reuse afterwards, that it can be transformed into something new and then the life can be extended. This is basic stuff, but we often forget it. Design a product that can be repaired. Repair in the sense that you don't need to dismount the wool jacket to access to one part of the jacket. So this is often forget. If you look at the product that you get back from the consumer, they are over-engineered and over-complicated to be repaired. So usually they are thrown away. And last but not least, for the consumer, when you ask to all your friends, for example, do you know what kind of materials is that? They have no clue about what is materials, so they will never sort it by materials. So how do we make sure that these materials that compose the products are easily identifiable as such by the consumer? How do you make sure that they can recognize them and they can go in the different streams that you have identified before? So polyester, polyamide, or cotton, or wool, whatever. So this is our key takeaway to engage the conversation to the next step after choosing the materials as a design, or design and materials is depending on how you approached it. But as materials itself is interesting to look at, but the design aspect is really key in all you do. So.
Yeah, as mentioned before, with this session here, it is just a step on our journey towards a more circular economy approach in our industry, specifically in the sporting goods industry. We will have a workshop tomorrow. That is something which is new here at Performance Days. There is another room which is upstairs. It's a workshop room, and we will have a workshop style not on this place because it's on upstairs, in the afternoon, 4:45 p.m. It's something like an hour, and we will deeply work into the look into the challenges and into the opportunities we will have within the raw materials to the ones which we are getting back from end consumers, the ones which we are getting back from industry, and how we can use them in design. We bring more physical examples for you to have a look to, and we would like to discuss with you and learn from you what are your challenges for us also to see on where we can help further, where we can connect, and on the other hand, for you to connect and to learn. That's something what we have seen in Friedrichshafen, that it took only a few minutes before, a few minutes after the start of the workshop, the people have been in a discussion on a complete different level, just on, hey, this and that, they have all the same problem with closing the loop, and our aim is to find industry solutions for that. So that's nothing which is a single company can solve. And the next is for ISPO in January in Munich. We will have a bigger approach. We will have a showcase again. We will have workshops for 4 days. There will be a broad variety of activities on this topic. We will look to all 4 steps of circular economy for the raw materials, as we do it today. We will have a look to the design process. We will have a look to new concepts in terms of use and care, to new services which come along, like not only selling product, probably you can rent it to the audience to get the raw materials back and to know where your raw materials are, which you need for the future, and what happens end of life, how can we make sure that we are getting products back from end consumers to build new raw materials out of that. We will also have a showcase at Ethical Fashion Show, concentrating on raw materials again, and in summer again outdoor in Friedrichshafen. With that, we would like to say thank you for attending. From our side, we have a few minutes left, so if there are questions, we have a micro. Whoever would like to have a question for the audience or for us, otherwise bring your questions for tomorrow afternoon. We have an hour to work, and we have a separate room to have a bit more workshop-style atmosphere, which we are really looking forward to because it's something like a new format within the performance days. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.